Okay, next case is Cruz Mejio v. Holder. Mr. Berg.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Roy L. F. Berg, and I represent the petitioners in this next matter, in this next matter before you, Mr. Roberto Cruz Mejio. Mr. Cruz is a native and citizen of Mexico who came to the United States in 1989, some 20 years ago. He and his wife are the parents of two United States citizen children, Liliana Cruz, who was born February 11, 2001, in Chicago, and Francisco Cruz, born September 6, 2002, also in Chicago. Petitioner's his wife reside together as a family. The immigration judge made a legal conclusion that the petitioner had not established that Liliana and Francisco would suffer sufficient hardship under the statute for the petitioner to be granted cancellation of removal. The petitioner respectfully submits that he did establish that his children would suffer the exceptional and extremely unusual hardship required in the statute if he is deported.
Now, Mr. Berg, why, I mean, this is the kind of case that fuels the debate we have in this country about immigration policy, but in the end, isn't the board making a highly discretionary decision about this extreme and unusual hardship point? And if that's what it's doing, then why do we have jurisdiction to entertain your petition?
I would submit, Your Honor, that there is a question of law as to what is exceptional, extremely unusual hardship. And we would submit that the immigration judge who made the initial determination, which the board affirmed without opinion, made an error of law in his conclusion.
Can you then dictate for me what you think that phrase means, what this court ought to say? I mean, it's very hard for me to imagine a formula of words. It looks like one of those weighing things. And in that instance, what the immigration judge finds is that although it will surely be a hardship for these children not to have their father with them, that kind of goes with the territory. Anytime somebody's removed, there's nothing, you know, nobody's ill, nobody's, you know, or not ill enough. I guess his eye thing didn't.
Liliana has a problem with the eyes, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I'm aware that that's there, but it's not like some cases we see. And so it looks like, if you will, a standard, not a rule. And you're trying to tell me there's a rule, but I don't know what the rule sounds like other than
Well, in matter of Racines, which the decision of the board, which we cite in our brief, the board held consideration must be given in the extreme in this hardship analysis. Mm-hmm. First, they said we're going to look to matter of Anderson, which was an old suspension of deportation case. Mm-hmm. And they said in Racines that consideration must be given to the age, health, and circumstances of the qualifying family members, including how a lower standard of living or adverse country conditions in the country of return might affect those relatives.
But, you know, that means, for example, we'd never send somebody back to the very poorest countries in the world. I don't see any reason to name names. And that's just simply not the law.
Look, the question is not whether they're going to be sent back or not. Our position is that this petitioner did establish that his children would suffer exceptional, extremely unusual hardship, and the judge did not properly consider all of the relevant factors and take them into consideration in the aggregate.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The terms extreme and unusual hardship sound comparative. Extreme compared to what? Extreme compared to their living situation in the United States today, extreme compared to children of other families where a parent is removed, extreme compared to other children in the country, in this instance, Mexico, to where they might have to move if they stay with the parent.
You're under the statute.
Compared to what?
The statute is silent as to that, but we would submit that the statute must be interpreted so as to favor the alien. That Supreme Court has said that. Our Supreme Court has said that. And therefore, in this case, we would submit that exceptional and extremely unusual hardship would be in comparison to other children whose parents are not being deported or whose parent is not being deported.
So you think that means as compared to other children in the United States, you know, of U.S.
Other
parents?
Other U.S. citizen or permanent resident family members who do not have a family member being
that
deported.
That doesn't seem to make any sense under the statute, because it seems to me extreme and unusual hardship surely must mean vis-a-vis other people who are also suffering or going to be subjected to removal.
Mm-hmm. Your Honor,
I think that's the way it's been interpreted, as I'm kind of rolling my mind over cases that have involved this.
Your Honor, in any event, our position is that this judge...
That would make a big difference for you, because if it's extreme and unusual hardship vis-a-vis others who are being removed, then this is, in fact, not a case that really stands out much from the crowd. I mean, it would be very sad for this family, of course, but the immigration judge says that's what it's like for all families that wind up being broken up.
And if that's the case, then no one would be granted cancellation of removal.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, sometimes somebody's taking care of an elderly parent, or there are situations that do take one out of the ordinary run of cases.
Your Honor,
not many. I mean, I don't think Congress meant for this to be a giant hole in the system.
But a relief nonetheless. And we would submit that in this case, the immigration judge, Your Honors, did not properly consider all of the relevant hardships and relevant factors in the aggregate, as the board said in Macias, the immigration judge is to do.
Is Mr. Mayo Cruz's wife in removal proceedings
no,
as well?
No, she is not.
Even though she's not documented?
He is a, it's not clear from the record, Your Honor, but he is a roofer. I believe it does state
that
in the decision. He was working down in... Following Katrina, his union had been invited to go down to New Orleans, and he was working on roofing there, and that's how he was apprehended. Your Honor, if I may continue, the respondent concedes that this court has jurisdiction over constitutional claims and questions of law, and that clearly is what the statute provides. The respondent has also acknowledged that cert has been granted in the Kukana case, and that is still pending before the Supreme Court. Now, as conceded by the respondent in the respondent's brief, we have filed a motion to reopen this past January, which has not been adjudicated as yet. As we advised the court in our brief and in subsequent motions, the motion to reopen before the Board of Immigration Appeals raises the issue of the current violence in Mexico, which includes beheadings and other unspeakable acts.
There's nothing we can do about the motion to reopen right now. I mean, if it's denied, you can certainly file a petition, right?
And the respondent concedes as much. I believe at the last page of the respondent's brief, it said that that would trigger your jurisdiction on that issue.
Isn't that kind of premature for us to worry about right now?
Well, we believe it's important for this court to take into consideration what we have raised. Because in Kazimierczyk, this court said the way to bring change country conditions, such as increased violence in Mexico, in the Kazimierczyk case, is through a motion to reopen. We have done that. We asked the board to handle it in an expedited fashion. In the Salgado case, which we attached to our brief, the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals did reopen Mr. Salgado's case, acknowledging the changed circumstances in Mexico. That was done this year. We submit that perhaps a solution, and I will make that motion at this time, that the court simply hold these proceedings in advance to give the board an opportunity to adjudicate our motion to reopen, because it does address factors which are highly relevant in this case, whether or not these children will suffer this exceptional and extremely unusual hardship. Your Honor, in any event, it is our position as well that the petitioner was denied a fair hearing, a hearing before a fair and impartial arbiter. We understand that Judge Bauer has announced his retirement, and he's going to be leaving the court at the end of October. We would ask this court, therefore, alternatively, to grant a petition for review and remand the case with directions that the case be held de novo before a new immigration judge. I'll reserve whatever time I have for appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Berg. Ms. Kleiner?
May it please the Court. My name is Tiffany Walters Kleiner, appearing on behalf of the respondent, the United States Attorney General. Cruz seeks review of the agency's denial of his application for cancellation of removal based on his failure to demonstrate the requisite exceptional and extremely unusual hardship, and the board's denial of his motion to reconsider the denial of his cancellation application. However, it's well established under 8 U.S.C. Section 1252A2B little I that this court lacks jurisdiction to review the agency's decision to deny cancellation of removal based on a failure to meet the requisite exceptional and extremely unusual hardship.
Do you think there's anything that the Supreme Court might say in the Kukana case that would change that?
I don't believe so. This court's decision in Kukana would, under this court's decision in Kukana, this court would lack jurisdiction to review the motion to reconsider under 1252A2B double little I. Regardless of what happens with Kukana before the Supreme Court, this court still lacks jurisdiction under 8 U.S.C. 1252A2B, single little I, and as such, the court could make a determination under single little I, and that would be completely unaffected by the Supreme Court's decision, whatever it may be, in Kukana. And so the court need not hold it in anticipation of what might happen in Kukana. In addition, although Cruz attempts to circumvent this jurisdictional bar by shoehorning his factual and discretionary challenges into legal questions, this court has repeatedly requested such disguised challenges. Cruz is essentially challenging how the immigration judge weighed the evidence, what was evaluated, and these are quintessential factual and discretionary determinations that go into the determination of exceptional, extremely unusual hardship. To the extent
that... It does make the petition for review system seem a bit fraudulent, doesn't it?
Well,
and there's no way to review, in your view, a very important ground for cancellation of removal.
There's still review over constitutional and legal questions. Certainly it does circumscribe this court's jurisdiction, but that was a choice that Congress made in enacting statutes to limit review. And essentially, I would simply argue that the statute circumscribes it in that way, and that was a choice made by Congress. In addition, Cruz claims that the immigration judge who conducted proceedings in this case was unfair or not impartial. Despite Cruz's unfounded claim, the record reveals that Cruz had a full and fair opportunity to apply for cancellation of removal. He did not object to the manner in which the proceedings were conducted before the immigration judge. He cited nothing in the record that would demonstrate that the immigration judge was in any way unfair or impartial. And in addition, Cruz challenges the board's procedure with affirmance without opinion. However, this court has squarely rejected this challenge in Martinez Maldonado, and Cruz has not explained what situation in this case would bear revisiting that issue. Finally, this court also lacks jurisdiction over Cruz's claims regarding his pending motion to reopen. There's no final order in that case, and as such, there's nothing for this court to review at this time.
He seems to concede that, actually, just
yes.
now.
Yes. I would assert that this court should not hold this case in abeyance pending the adjudication of the motion to reopen. That motion is not relevant to this petition before this court. As such, the court should affirm the decision of the agency and dismiss the petition for review.
How is it not relevant?
In that the petition for review in this case deals with the motion to reconsider and the board's decision affirming the immigration judge's denial of cancellation of removal. The motion to reopen is simply not before the court, as there's been no final decision. That would be a separate petition for review, and should the motion to reopen be denied, Cruz would be free to file a petition for review at that point. If there are no further questions, respondent will rest on its briefs. Thank you.
Mr. Berg?
In the respondent's brief, it says, as a matter at page 3, as a final matter, this court lacks jurisdiction to consider any pending motions Cruz has filed with the board because they are necessarily not and may never become final orders of removal. In other words, what the government is saying is that the board may never decide the motion to reopen. Now, the regulation...
I read that in a much more optimistic way for your client. I thought maybe they were conceding that the board might find that there were changed conditions in Mexico and there would not be a final order of removal.
And certainly that's one way to read it, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. And if that's the way it's read, then perhaps it would be in this...
Well, they're just saying they don't know. I mean, it might turn out that way or it might not.
The challenge is the regulations provide that if a person is deported before the motion to reopen is adjudicated, it is considered withdrawn. So for the board to retain jurisdiction over the motion to reopen, the petitioner must remain in the United States, which is why I have asked that this court perhaps consider holding proceedings in advance until such time as the board has had an opportunity to rule on the motion to reopen, which I believe, and I believe, Judge Kennedy, you were alluding to, does raise some very valid points. As in McHale, this court talked about the importance of the Board of Immigration Appeals taking into consideration post-hearing matters filed in a motion to reopen. We have put them, we followed the steps, we put it before the board, new evidence of the terrible violence that's happened in Mexico, the killings that have happened there, and how this effect will all impact on these two innocent children that are here today. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the 8th.